Welcome to the Embodiment Conference. This channel, Trauma and Social Change, it's absolutely the moment for that, isn't it? I'm Steve Hoskinson. I'm the founder of Organic Intelligence. I've been teaching in this area of trauma, embodiment, and social change for about 25 years. It's an honor, really, for us to be sponsoring this channel where we're going to hear a multiplicity of voice, all unique contributors to our collective understanding of how to move from trauma and support then social change. Our unique voice in organic intelligence has something to do with a koan that I'd like to present to you, which is trauma means unintegrated resource. And that's a koan, and if you'd like and are feeling intrigued about that riddle, then tune in to the post-trauma system development course that we are offering here. The coupon code that'll get you half off on that is ENJOY. Now, enjoy this next presentation, and we'll look forward to another meaningful time as we explore these topics, trauma and social change. Enjoy.
So that was our sponsor video from Steve Hoskinson, founder of Organic Intelligence, also on organicintelligence.org. But now to our speaker from this session, and Lars Mugent, Mygent, who is an English pronunciation would probably be Mygent, and I try my very best Danish, Lars Mugent would be more or less a Danish version. So I just learned three interesting facts about you, Lars, that you've been an actor for 10 years, a businessman for 10 years, and a therapist for 23 years. So apart from this telling us that you started being an actor at the age of 5, I think it's very interesting to learn from your bio that you're very passionate about spreading hope in the world and how do we all need that, primarily by teaching people the secret of symptoms, also known as meta-health or meta-medicine. It teaches effective techniques to heal udins and how to conquer fears and phobias. So maybe we will learn a little bit more about what udins are later. If you have physical ailments or serious diseases, often when the emotional stuff is cleared, the body heals itself. Lars has made more than 40 lectures since 2003 about tapping, laughter, and meta health. And I can confirm he's very fun and outgoing already from knowing you just for 10 minutes and full of surprises. Lars, you've had more than 5,000 individual clients since 2000 and trained more than 2,000 therapists since 2004, which is amazing. Together with your wife, Hannah Haleson, you've created the training company, Haleson and Mygent, and you're both passionate about teaching people the best healing techniques from around the world. Very warm welcome once more, and please get started with your session.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, maybe so. While I'm saying this, I just want to say question answers we agreed before, also as a note to the participants, you can drop them in this box and we will bring them up and in between, but we may have to cut it short and leave a bit more time also at the end for Q&A.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Heidi. I'm working with trauma because my belief is that the main cause of everything is trauma, and the cure for all problems is trauma healing. And for me, trauma healing is to let go of the energy within an experience and when you know you have let go of this experience, it's like you know it happened, but it feels like it never happened. So it's so interesting that the proof that you have a technique that works for healing trauma is that you experience APEX, APEX. So APEX is the term when you have a trauma and you heal it and you like forget you ever had the trauma. So Mostly we experience apex when people have a phobia, and I have a fear of heights. And I treat a person with the fear of heights. And then I meet this person after 3 months and I ask you, how is your fear of heights doing? And the person replies to me, I have never had the fear of heights. That is for me the true proof that the therapy has worked in an optimal way, because the client is experiencing the apex problem or the apex situation or the apex whatever. So apex means at the peak of something. So when you do, in my point of view, optimal therapy, the client and the therapist is equally surprised of what's going on. So for me, the secret to heal trauma is I, as a therapist, have to enter into the session with a beginner's mind. The client has to enter into the session with a beginner's mind. So we both have to enter into this experience together. And when we enter into this experience together with a beginner's mind, we can become surprised. And when we can become surprised using our trauma healing tools, that's when we really get the most powerful results. So that is the biggest challenge for me, because when I teach new people to heal trauma, they're actually usually quite good in the beginning. Then they start thinking, I know what's going on. Then they get pretty bad at healing trauma. And then they have to continue learning and let go of what they're doing and come back to this beginner's mind and to really be good at facilitating healing myself and healing my clients. So I'll just reveal right from the start, can trauma be healed? Yes, there is no doubt that trauma can be healed. Do I actually enter into trauma, which I am really challenged in healing? Yes, I do. There are different reasons why trauma cannot be healed. The first reason that trauma cannot be healed is because the person you're working with is experiencing a polarity reversal. And polarity reversal is in tapping, thought field therapy, emotional freedom techniques, they call it psychological reversal. I don't like that term. I don't like that my psychology can be reversed. So we are now using, and that I see that this term is now being introduced all over the world. We started in 2005 here in Denmark calling it a polarity reversal. And the reason we call it a polarity reversal is because inside of you, you have 26 main meridians, and your meridians in your body is like 26 battery packs. And these 26 battery packs, they are polarized plus, minus. So you have all these batteries. We don't know if it's true that you have batteries in your meridians, but we, when we measure on your meridians, after you correct the polarity reversal, then you actually can measure that you have an increase in amps and in volts. So normally when the amps go up, the volts go down, or the amp go down, the volt go up. But here we see that both the amps, the amperes, and the volts go up. So we can see an up to 10 times more energy in your meridians when you correct the polarity reversal. The most simple way of correcting polarity reversal is actually tapping your hands together like this 10 times and massaging up here 10 times around. That's the most simple way of correcting polarity reversal. And when you do this exercise, all treatments will work better. Even if you're just doing coaching or teaching in a class or massage therapy, reflexology, any kind of trauma healing, hypnotism, every single style will function better if you correct for polarity reversal before you begin your whatever you're doing, because when all your batteries are turned the right way in your body, your body is more ready for healing. If we have time at the end, I will demonstrate to you, if you have massive polarity reversal, then we recommend collarbone breathing. I have a channel on YouTube, so you can always write to me if you want to get, you know, videos of what I'm talking about here. But I'm sure you can find different styles of correcting the polarity reversal. So that's the main cause for having difficulty of healing trauma. That is that your client is having a polarity reversal. So what actually happens is that most therapists have worked on themselves. And because I have worked on myself and I have created a special space in my clinic within myself, then when you connect with me, my batteries, my polarities are already correct. So when you are in my clinic working with me, because I'm in the state of correct polarity, when you come into my clinic, you are actually invited into this better space. And because you are in this better space, it makes it easier for you to heal, instead of when you work, try to heal your trauma on your own. Then when you work with somebody who are in a space of service, then that will help you heal your trauma. So that's the main cause that trauma will not heal. That is because you are having a polarity reversal. The second cause that it's difficult to heal trauma, if you go to a therapist, is that the therapist have not dealt with the issue himself. So when I have a client and it's challenging for me to work on this client's problem, if I'm going to see the client again, I'm definitely going to look, do I have any part in this issue my client has turned up with? Because what I see a lot of the time is, to heal a trauma, I need to fearlessly enter into the trauma together with my client. And if I'm unconsciously activated, then I'm afraid to enter into the problem together with my client. And if we are not able to enter the space, the healing space together, because I'm afraid to activate my own trauma, then that will be a block to help heal the trauma. So it's very, very important that I constantly work on myself. And I'm working with a Canadian psychologist, Grant McFetridge, and Grant, he has been looking at how many trauma do we actually have, and the thing is that we actually have something we call trauma strings. So a trauma string, we have a trauma string here, and we have a trigger, a trigger, a trigger, and a yuving. So Heidi was curious about what is the yuding. So a yuding is the origin of a trauma string. So when So in order to clear this trauma string, you need to find the yudin. And now comes an interesting fact. I believe that this trauma string is actually a biological thing in my cells. I actually believe that the string is an RNA string, that these frozen moments, I call it frozen moments, are actually ribosomes stuck on this RNA string in my cell. And down here, the trauma string is actually, the RNA string is actually stuck in the histone in the cell. So if we have a cell core, an outer cell membrane, then in here you have your DNA, and the DNA makes a replica of itself, and the replica is an RNA string, and the RNA string comes into the cytoplasm, and in the cytoplasm we have ribosomes, and the ribosomes are sitting on the RNA string. And if there is a trauma in the histone, which is like the eye that opens and closes to let out the RNA string, if there's a trauma in the histone, then the RNA string will be blocked, and the RNA string will not be released into the cytoplasm, and that will prevent the ribosomes from producing protein as they read the RNA string. So where am I going with this? So when I find a yudin and I heal the yudin, this structure will be released. So the histone will open, the RNA string will be released into the cytoplasm, and the ribosomes will produce protein. So if you have worked with yourself or with a client and they have experienced a powerful healing of a trauma, then they get hot. And the reason they get hot is because millions of RNA strings are released and produce proteins. And we can actually measure in the body that when you can measure this in the urine, it's quite a simple test. How much protein do you have in the urine before trauma healing? And how much protein do you have in urine after a powerful trauma healing? And you can actually measure an explosion in protein in the urine. And so for me, it's like, wow, when I have a true release of trauma, then it's actually changing my biology, and it releases a lot of protein, and stuck processes in my cells are released. So what we learn is, as we do this process, as we let go of trauma, we also know that the chromosomes which are in the cell core, the chromosomes, they at the end of the chromosomes, there are these fringes called telomeres. And as we heal trauma, as we age, the telomeres get shorter and shorter. So we say the normal degenerative process when you experience aging is that your telomeres become shorter. But as you heal trauma, you can actually reverse the aging process and the telomeres become longer again. So if you combine trauma healing and daily practice of meditation, then you can actually make your telomeres longer. And the longer the telomeres you have, the better the reproduction of cells is. So I'm, you know, I'm working on this. And so I expect next time we are together, we'll, in a next conference where you see me, you know, my hair is black and I have no more wrinkles. So now comes an interesting fact. We have looked at microscopic pictures of cells. And when you look at how many of these structures can you see in a normal cell, in a normal human being? And we expect that an average human have about 5,000 trauma strings. 5,000 trauma strings. So you have 5,000 trauma strings of these. That means you have 5,000 udins, and you have many more thousands of triggers. So to find a trigger and heal a trigger is no feat. To find a udin and heal a udin is no feat. To find a udin that actually will make a difference in your life on a physical level, on an emotional level, on a mental level, that is where you understand that now I have met a master healer or just an average therapist. Because when you really heal something that really is at the center of your being, of your life, that is the what you could call the block to evolving your potential, is when you really find the really interesting units. And my perspective on this is that most normal functioning people, if they heal 3 to 5 udins out of 5,000, it's not quite many, they will get a much better life. I'm a therapist. I'm a trauma nerd. So, you know, I'm working on healing all 5,000. You know, let's see how many udins can I heal in my lifetime. So for me, it's about healing. I don't do it every day. I do it in sprints. So every time I find a new modality, I work with many different modalities. My preferred modality right now is transformative water. I don't know if they have transformativewater.com, but I'm working with beliefs, which is really, really difficult to detect. I actually use kinesiology to detect my blocking beliefs. And because normally when I work with trauma, you can feel a physical felt sensation. And when I feel this physical felt sensation, that is when I'm triggered. So when something is happening to me, I feel a physical felt sensation. This physical felt sensation, which happens in this frozen moment, locks me into a trigger moment. When I have a black rock in my chest and I then move back to this trigger moment, I will still have a black rock in my chest. If I move...
Lars, could I... Oh, sorry. Sorry, I was just wondering, because related to the topic where we are at the moment, there were a couple of questions in the chat about the udins. So I think people understood that it's like the root cause or something of a trauma, but there were still questions.
I will come to that now. I will come to the explanation of the udin now, I promise.
Okay, so, and also the request for later to have a practical way of how you can get to them, if that could be included.
I'm doing that right now. I'm right. Showing you right now. So the trick to go to the udin is you go to a trigger, you find the black rock. You will not have a black rock. You will have another physical felt sensation, but a lot of people have a black rock in the chest or in the stomach. So I go to the trigger moment. I feel the black rock in my chest. I then regress back. And the Yudin, why we call it a Yudin is because it's four letters. To call this a Yudin moment is it has to be a moment which is unexpected. It has to come out of the blue. You have to be really, really surprised. It has to be dramatic. There has to be a strong, powerful experience in this moment. So it has to be unexpected. It has to be dramatic. It has to be isolating. So I have a lot of clients when they come to me and they talk about the Yudin moment when they, you know, I just sat with a woman the other day and she went back to a Yudin moment, and that was a Yudin moment. She was 4 years old, and she was pulled out from behind her bed and put onto the bed, and her father raped her 4 years old. And as I sit with her, that was the first time as we began to release the emotion around the Yudin. That was the, she has been in therapy for 2 years every week, but together with me, as we released the emotion, that was the first time she could break the isolation and say, I was raped. For 2 years, she could only say bad things happened. But as we really entered into the Yudin, and when we go into the Yudin, it's very, very important to understand we have this frozen moment. And in this frozen moment, most people go out of themselves. The observing self is outside of the body. So in order to heal this moment, we need to go into the body and experience this frozen moment as we release this. And for me, tapping is just the magic. For most people, I feel like 90% of all the people I work with, they benefit. So as we go back to this frozen moment and we tap as you talk, this woman talk about her experience, and suddenly she has really released enough energy. She can then tell me what is happening, what is really going on in this moment when she is 4 years old, and we can tap and she can enter more and more into her own body and release more and more and more of this energy. And for her, did one session completely heal the Yudin? No, but it, you know, we have this such scale that goes from 0 to 10. And she said, before we started was 45. And after one half hour session of working on this, it went down to a 4. And then one more session, it goes down to a 0. So, and the last thing, so it's unexpected, it's dramatic, it's isolating, and the end is about you have a situation where there is no strategy. You don't know what to do. So now comes another really, really interesting fact. What I have learned working with this is that most of your Yudins, 90% of your Yudins is before conception. So 90% of all your Yudins is before conception. And most of them before conceptions is in your biology. That means that we are looking at damage to the egg cell and the sperm. We're looking at the coalescence, what happened for the creation of the consciousness in the egg, what happened for the creation of the consciousness in the sperm. So now I'm coming to the third problem that you will heal trauma, but it will come back. Because when the creation of the egg cell that becomes you, that happens when your mother is 3 months old fetus inside your grandmother. Did you get that? So when your mother is a 3 months old fetus in your grandmother, that's when the egg that becomes me is created. And during this creation, my grandmother will protect me. So if my grandmother senses that there is a danger, she will create a protective layer around me. And this protective layer we call a time loop. So a time loop is a protective layer my grandmother created in order to protect me from danger, to help me survive. So it's very helpful for help me to survive. I survived, I'm here today. The problem is that this protective layer actually prevents me from healing trauma. So I will heal the trauma, but then the trauma will come back because of this time loop. And how do I recognize a time loop? If you are quite sure you found the yudin, you were in the frozen moment, you were inside your body or inside the cell or inside the sperm, you are inside yourself, you stayed there, you tapped or did whatever healing technique you use to really come to zero. And then it comes back. Then you suspect, I'm sure I did all the right things. I really went to a zero. And then it comes back. Then you know it's a time loop. And a time loop feels like eggshell. So when you have this experience, this yudin comes back. You still have the frozen moment. You have recorded that in your session. So you go back to this frozen moment and then you look for an eggshell. So you expand your consciousness and you look, is there an eggshell around me? And when you expand your consciousness and when you feel this eggshell, then you like expand like a millimeter beyond this eggshell, and you're just there. You're just allowing, accepting this eggshell is here and it helped me. I don't need it anymore. It helped protect me to survive, to become who I am today. But now I'm accepting and allowing this eggshell to be there. And usually I call the gamut spot the miracle spot, because the miracle spot, when you tap here on the back of your hand, we call it in English, it's called the gamut spot. I call it the miracle spot because the miracle spot we can see is connected to this place here or this place here. It will actually help heal the histone when you tap here on the miracle spot. And I recommend that you hold your hand on the solar plexus, because most people, when they go out of body, they move out of body through the solar plexus. So when you hold your hand here and tap here while you experience the eggshell or any other trauma, and tap here between the little finger and ring finger, then you really have a good, powerful enhancer for healing the trauma. So this experience the eggshell. When the eggshell around you is gone, you scan the whole body to see if there's any eggshell leftovers in your body. I have a few times, I've been told it's not correct, but I have experienced a few times people can have pieces of eggshell in the body. And you just merge and focus on that eggshell, allow this eggshell to be there and tap and allow and accept, and the eggshell will dissolve. And as And you can actually also have more eggshells. So if you have an eggshell and it goes away, you just expand more to see, is there any eggshell further out? And just make sure there's no eggshells left. And when all the eggshells are left, are gone, you go back to the frozen moment, you heal the uterine again. And then as you heal the uterine again, then you should experience now it doesn't come back. So the three causes that healing doesn't work, you're having a polarity reversal, the therapist is having the problem himself, or you're having time loops.
Would it be okay, Lars, if I was bring another question up that came there? I think these very these words that are really like metaphors, maybe eggshells and so on, time loops, udens, people have a lot of questions around this. And it's probably more than what we can really go through in this remaining time. But there was the question about some research articles about this, about udens, time loops, frozen moment and eggshells. If you wanted to dig deeper, where would you go and understand the research behind that?
I will. I would look at books written by Grant McFetridge. He wrote a pretty good book here, Peak States. Two books about peak states, volume one and volume two about peak states. And then I can recommend, he also wrote a really interesting book, Silencing the Voices, where you work on trauma-based autonomous thinking. And then he wrote a book about psychobiology, where he is writing about how trauma is in the cell.
Wonderful, thank you. Maybe we can research it quickly while you're continuing to talk, and we will post some links. And then there was another question, and maybe that.
Grant McFetridge. So.
McFetridge, wonderful. We'll definitely find it from there.
He's an engineer. He's an engineer and a psychologist. But we have kind of taken his work. And we are combining his work with MetaHealth, with a model for how you can use the physical symptoms in your body to be better to find the better uterines. Mm-hmm. And it's the work created originally by a German doctor, Rüge Gerd Hammer. And as you combine these two models, you get really, really interesting results.
Thank you. Thank you for these hints. I'm assuming are you going to talk a bit about the healing part in itself as well?
So
you mentioned tapping already.
I'm going to talk about CPLBL.
So, all right.
so that's an important part of healing. So you have this SOT scale, zero, no discomfort, and you have 10, massive discomfort. When you get down to a zero, one of the things I learned is that a lot of people don't know what zero is. So it's CPL, BL. Oh, CPR, CPL, BL. So why is it writing CPR? CPL, BL. So CPL, to really be in a zero, to really make a powerful healing, is you have to be calm in the mind, C, peaceful in the heart, and light in the body. We actually work with 9 brains, but for the ease of it, we just stick with MacLean's triune brain theory, where you have the thinking mind, the feeling mind, and the body mind in the lower abdomen. So when you want to be zero, you have to be calm in the mind. So when you have healed a trauma moment, you need to be calm in the mind, peaceful in the heart, and light in your body. You can also be heavy, but if you feel heavy, you have to feel grounded. If you feel like there's a pressure on your head, on your shoulders, on your legs, then it's not the heavy feeling we want you to have. We want you to feel the heavy feeling of being, you know, connected to your chair or to the floor or to the ground. So it's very, very important that you are calm in your mind, peaceful in your heart, and light in your body. So when I ask people, where are you from 0 to 10? And they say, I'm a 0. I then ask, are you calm? Are you peaceful in your heart? Are you light in the body? And then if I have a suspicion, then I ask, do you feel bright inside? Do you feel large? So BL is bright and large. So if you feel calm, peaceful, light, bright, and expanded, then you have healed a trauma before birth. So everybody who have done a lot of trauma healing on themselves, they have experienced to come into the state where they are calm, they're peaceful, they are light, they are bright and expanded, and it's just like really, really wonderful experience. A wonderful, wonderful place you're at. So it's so, you know, so the way I work is we find a problem you have. We find a trigger. Then we use the physical felt sensation in the body. Example, black rock. In the old days when I started, I would associate and then I would jump over to other trauma strings, because in this trauma string, I have a black rock. In this trauma string over here, I have a yellow cloud. In order to make sure I have to, when I regress on the same trauma string, it's so important that I have the same physical felt sensation all the way through to the uterine. When I have found what I suspect to be the uterine, I must merge with myself or what I believe. The first time I was before conception, I was big back and there was two big, I think today it was two big eggs. But I didn't know that, and I asked my therapist, which one is me? And you can sense who is you. So I merged with the egg that was me, and I stayed there, and then I put my hand on my solar plexus, and I tapped, and I stayed there, and I accepted all the physical felt sensation in this frozen moment. And I stayed there until I was calm, peaceful, and light. And then I experienced, wow, I'm becoming bright and expanded. I'm becoming large. And it was just an amazing feeling. And for me, it was like, wow, there's a whole new level of healing, which I never thought was there. So that was really, really, really powerful. And before, I think I spent a lot of time on healing triggers. And now when I work with clients, a trick I will give you is when you work with a client, you ask the client or you tell the client, please let your body remember the first time it felt this physical felt sensation. And sometimes your client unconsciously, subconsciously will just fall back to that first time and heal the uterine, even if they are not aware of what's going on. Because a lot of people, it's really, really challenging to move before birth to heal something. And when, you know, and a lot of people are becoming ready to move into, you know, the womb and conception. But then when you move before conception into the biology or you move to past lives, or you move into generational trauma, which we haven't touched on, then, you know, the mind just explodes. Yesterday, I had a really, really amazing work with a woman, and she was like, she felt that there was this ancestral death trauma, and she couldn't see, you know, like hundreds of people behind her that was having this ancestral death trauma, but the third one would not allow her to pass. So we just went to this third ancestor behind her, and we just worked there and worked there, and we allowed this resistance to be there. And suddenly, boom, we were all the way back, and she could see all this hundreds of generations of fear of death. And suddenly, as it healed and she became CPLBL, she was like, this blissful experience of all this fear. And she said, I see, I experience all these generations with all this fear, but there's no energy in it for me anymore. I'm completely at peace with what this is. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's like when we heal ancestral and generational trauma, it not only affects me, but it affects my parents, my siblings, my children, my nephews and nieces. And I can see, as I've been working a lot on generational trauma on my own behalf, it affects my family a lot.
Yeah, we have a couple of questions around that. So I guess it comes from the fact that you've talked a lot about things that are actually before the life that we may be more aware of has begun. So there were, first of all, the question is about past lives. And then is this somehow a religious theory, ancestral death trauma, all these topics? I think there's a bit of not so clear understanding of what is this about. Can you maybe give us a foundation of where this knowledge comes from?
So the knowledge comes from that we work with a model. We work with this model. We call it the primary cell model. And what we have developed in this primary cell model is that we have looked at more than 100 different schools for healing. And we have integrated all the different types of trauma into the primary cell model. And so some are religious, some are this, some are that, but if we can see there's factual evidence that this is a type of trauma that exists, then we say, we believe we have this primary cell model. And then we look, where does this type of trauma fit into the primary cell model? And we have then added it into the primary cell model. So right now we have about 30 different types of trauma, and we look at it in a biological way. We look at it in the biology. So for me, all healing, all spiritual experiences is not out in the space, not in a different dimension. It's something going on in my own cells inside my own body. So for me, it's we are learning that we are predicting a lot of things that actually have been developed and understood in science in the past 20 years. So the primary cell model actually is really connected to what the scientists are learning about cells. And when I say we have generational trauma, there's, you can look for that in the primary cell, and you will see the primary cell, the cells will change as you heal ancestral or generational trauma. So there's nothing religious about it. There are the foundation for this is shamanistic. So it's like shamanistic means that we go out and we experience what is going on. And if we can replicate it and find it in somebody else, and several people can have the same experience using the same protocol, then we understand that here we are onto something, which is when it's common for everybody and everybody have the same experience, then we believe then it can enter into the primary cell model.
Okay, we have not that much time left, unfortunately. I would like to pick up two questions. One is asking about the connection with EMDR therapy. So how does what you are saying relate to EMDR therapy? And when you're talking about the tapping, maybe you could also explain for the benefit of everyone what EMDR is.
So EMDR is a technique where originally you were in the frozen moment. As you were in the frozen moment, you moved your eyes from side to side. So the eye movement, while experiencing the trauma, was supposed to release the energy in the trauma, and it's a really efficient technique. And so EMDR is just another modality to heal trauma. The protocol for EMDR is, for me, a little complex and complicated and restricted. And they have some contraindications where there's some types of trauma they cannot deal with. So I prefer tapping where you don't, where the protocol is much simpler and you don't have the contraindications. So EMDR is a tool to release a frozen moment. It's not the tool in EMDR where you look for the trigger and the udin, you use talk therapy. You talk about what could be the udin, what could be the trigger.
Okay, thank you very much.
So the difference from this is that we regress on the physical felt sensation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then there was a question that just got voted up as well. What are some warning signs if we are going to traumatize the client further by dwelling on this generational trauma? How to avoid that too.
You can't avoid that. You will always, the way I work, I always re-traumatize my clients. 99 out of 100 times they get better. The reason that things go pear-shaped is when the client and I have not talked really, really well about what's going to happen. So it's really, really important that I'm ready, that my client understand what's going to happen, that my client is feeling safe with me and trust me to go into this problem. My biggest mistakes has been when I have not been really understanding where my client is and what my client is prepared for. So what you're looking for is that, am I too eager to work on this, or am I really calm? Am I really understanding where is my client? Have I entered into the shoes of my client so I really, really start at the same place as my client is at? Have I made enough effort to really understand where my client is at?
And related to that, are there warning signs, therefore, when you may not have done your own homework enough, when you maybe overdo things a bit? Are there any such warning signs?
So the warning signs is that when you're working on a trauma, that there's the physical discomfort is not changing. That's the first warning sign. Nothing is happening. My best suggestion is if nothing is happening, you can always activate a positive trauma. So if you get stuck in a session and and you start thinking about, ooh, what am I going to do now? Just stop and go into a positive trauma. And I usually ask my client, what do you prefer? Do you prefer sex, food, or traveling? And you know, go in, find a positive trauma or a positive experience. It's not always trauma, but often positive, really strongly positive memories are also trauma. So go into a positive trauma, which is nicer. That's my recommendation. And the what you really see is something is stuck. That's the main alarm bell that should go off. Ooh. So if you can't relax when people get stuck, because that's the whole secret. When people get stuck and you can really relax, then you can move on. If you get tense, move to a positive trauma.
Unfortunately, we have to cut this short. You know, I could probably listen to you. Unexpected. Hopefully not too dramatic, isolating and with a no strategy. I hope there's not this type of moment where we're creating a new Ood in here. But yeah, I have to cut it short, unfortunately. And that is because there are just the last 2 minutes, a few more announcements I want to make. So because there's so much to explore in this topic, we've just got the sponsor video, the sponsor link already copied into the chat. We've got the embodiment conference copied into the chat. And of course, also your link, your website, so that everyone can browse more and maybe read more into what your message is. And I would also like to point out that we've got a couple more sessions to come in this channel until the end of the conference tomorrow. We have a coffee break portal. So if anyone feels like they want to connect with other attendees of the conference, please use the link that will be posted in the chat as well. And they're the Facebook groups. So if you have a need for connecting a bit more with people and, you know, sharing your experience from the sessions or maybe recommending the session here, and that would be great. And of course, as with all sessions, they are available for free for another 48 hours online. And I think this is really great to keep browsing or sometimes rewatching, because it's good if something impressed you really to watch it again and see, okay, what was really meant. If you feel like you want to own the library of all videos and digest it in your own time, not miss anything, or maybe as a thank you to us as an organization or as a community, you can also upgrade your account and purchase either the videos from one track, from one channel, or the whole lot. And I do want to point out that working with trauma yourself, like there's an upgrade possibility for people that are directly working with healing of trauma, or that are in their profession in this area. So there is a possibility to get the channel of trauma for a better rate. And I think you find on the embodiment webpage, you will find an email address. You can just use this and say you heard about this and find out more. With that said, we're at the end of our time, unfortunately. I wish you all a really good continuation of the conference, wherever you are in the world, and stay embodied. And the last sentence from you, Lars, what is your top tip for staying embodied?
My top tip right now is to ask yourself this question. Do you want to be normal, or do you want to be optimal? Are you willing to do the work to heal your own trauma? For me, it has been worth every moment.
Thank you so much.